Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Querétaro is a city in north-central Mexico that's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It was founded by the Spanish in the 16th century, but its indigenous history spans pre-colonial times by centuries. The city's skyline is dotted with ornate Baroque monuments from the 17th and 18th centuries. Its Spanish colonial history is tied to a city hundreds of miles north, San Antonio, Texas. The ties they share trace back to the Franciscan friars who were sent from Querétaro to what is now South Texas to spread Catholicism, convert the native people, and establish a Spanish presence. San Antonio's missions, once in disrepair, are also now a UNESCO World Heritage Site, including the former Mission Valero, the Alamo. The ties between the two regions and their shared history are showcased in an international exhibit called Al Otro Lado del Espejo, The Other Side of the Mirror. Almost two dozen Latino artists have their art displayed at the Museo de Arte de Querétaro. The international collaborative effort, three centuries in the making, is a way to redraw the two cities' connections through culture, education, and history. San Antonio artists Lionel and Kathy Sosa have a home in Querétaro. They explain how they came across a history that had long been undiscovered, at least on this side of the border.
We discovered the hidden historic ties because in Querétaro, they're not hidden. They're on signs everywhere you go. And we don't have a car in Mexico, so we walk everywhere. And every few blocks, there's a sign that says, the friars that established the missions walked by here. Or when we got to the Templo Santa Cruz, there's a sign that says this is where they began, this is where they were trained, this is where the whole journey began to make the missions northward from Querétaro way back then. So it was like we looked at each other and went, what? And why don't we know this? And we never heard that before. And then we began just to remind ourselves how it's referred to here. It's like the Spanish missionaries founded the missions in San Antonio, which leads you to believe that they got off a plane or fell out of the sky directly from Madrid, right? They were Spanish. And the rest of the story of how it took 200 years after the conquest and many, many people studying long and hard and walking back and forth on foot to make these journeys and establish these missions is never mentioned.
And so, Lionel, you say that without Querétaro, without those Spanish missionaries, there would be no San Antonio.
Well, they were trained in Querétaro 7 years or more that they spent there learning the customs of the indigenous that they would encounter here, the languages, how to actually interact with them in a way that they would respond to Catholicism, because they were there to spread the Catholic religion. And they really needed to be trained and ready for it, because it was going to be a long, long trek. Querétaro to San Antonio is 725 miles, and they walked it. These were Franciscan friars. They did not want any luxuries. They did not want horses. They walked the whole 725 miles, and there were no roads. It is a long, arduous trip. And the first ones must have had it very tough, because it really took 100 years or more for all of these friars to continue to come. As they continued to come, a road developed, way stations developed, and so forth. But if it were not for Querétaro, there would be no missions. There would be no Alamo. Without the Alamo, there would be no San Antonio. And it's as plain as that, and nobody knows it. Everybody knows the Alamo. You enter Texas, welcome to Texas, the cradle of Texas liberty. And the Battle of the Alamo was very, very important. It's an important history. If it were not for the battle, I don't think the Alamo would have been saved at all. But there's so much more. And what we want to do is tell the whole story. Tell the whole story from the very, very beginning, 300 years ago or so, not just 1836 to today.
And so, Kathy, I know that there is a lot of sometimes resistance in accepting this colonial history in living where we do. And so how do you think that it's the best way to come to terms with that complicated history? Because here in this particular exhibit, it's highlighting a very important part of why we became who we are today. As we were saying with Lionel, you really can't have one without the other. There's really no denying the past.
Well, I don't think this history has been denied so much as it has been neglected or ignored in favor of the 90 minutes in 1836, which has been, up until recent times, unfortunately, the beginning and end, you know, of that history. As we begin to talk to people about it, you know, eyes wide open, a lot of curiosity. The challenge will be, what happens after that? Now that you're aware of that, now that you're aware of it's a centuries-old relationship, it's a centuries-old history of moving borders and territories and cultures and crossing imaginary and real lines and drawing lines across communities, what do you do with that? Do you just go, oh, that's interesting, and you write the plaque that says the Spanish missionaries formed the San Antonio missions? Do you continue to talk about it the same way, or do you go, yeah, that's important. It's about time to talk about the whole history from the beginning all the way through. And that's another part of what, you know, we are talking to people about and hoping that they'll do, is include that history in the stories that are told today, in the history books, in the new museum at the Alamo, and anywhere else that is appropriate.
Questions that we had about the story was, I wonder how the folks at the Alamo Trust are going to feel about us telling the entire story, especially the role of the indigenous. That is the role that is highly excluded in the history. They're very interested in telling the whole story. Of course, people come to San Antonio to see the Alamo and to learn all about the battle. That's the reason they're here. But while they are here, they are going to learn the whole story. And I'm so very glad of that, because if the whole story is not being told, it's not up to us to complain about it. It's up to us to tell the whole story.
Lionel and Kathy Sosa are San Antonio-based artists and curators of Al Otro Lado del Espejo, The Other Side of the Mirror, an exhibit featuring 23 San Antonio Latino artists on display in the Mexican city of Querétaro. When we come back, the Sosas were looking for a specific San Antonio flavor when selecting artists for the Querétaro exhibit.
We really wanted the Mexican museum goer to understand how artists in San Antonio use their art to talk about their culture, their identity, how they express that.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. San Antonio is an old city. Its history as a Spanish settlement began over 300 years ago. Indigenous people called Yanaguana home for millennia. The city's Spanish colonial past and its subsequent expansion into what's now the seventh largest city in the U.S. can be traced to the central Mexican city of Querétaro. Spanish missionaries from Querétaro traveled over 700 miles on foot over three centuries ago to the north, to the South Texas region, to establish their missions. San Antonio artists Lionel and Kathy Sosa are reestablishing the connections between the two seemingly separate cities and cultures via an artistic exchange, at a museum in Querétaro, Mexico, and on public television. 23 San Antonio artists have submitted various works that are on display at the Museo de Arte de Querétaro for the exhibit Al Otro Lado del Espejo, The Other Side of the Mirror. Kathy Sosa says she and Lionel and Querétaro Museum Director Antonio Areye were looking for a specific type of art for this collaboration.
If there was a criteria, these would be people who express their identity and their culture through their art. It has a specific meaning and a specific symbolism, you find. So that's the story we were trying to tell to the Mexican museum-going audience. We don't have anything against abstract art. We really like it. We appreciate it. But we really wanted the Mexican museum-goer to understand how artists in San Antonio use their art to talk about their culture, their identity, how they express that. So that was really the criteria. There was a secondary criteria in my mind, which was I really wanted a gender balance in the artists. And that's because female artists get short end of the stick a lot of times, and they have since the beginning of art. You know, so we have to correct that, and the way to correct that is to go with that goal in mind. So I'm proud of that, because out of the 23 artists, 9 are women, but out of the 20 living artists, 9 are women. So it's a really good balance of point of view, and we want to elevate women artists up to the level of the men artists.
And Lionel, how many of these artists were able to go down for the opening on September 20th to Querétaro?
About half of them, a little bit more than half of them, and they had the best time because the Mexicans in Querétaro embraced their work. We found something very, very interesting about the Latino artists in San Antonio, and that is that it doesn't make any difference how long they've been painting, or if they know Spanish, or if they've ever visited Mexico, or if they're fifth generation or first generation. If they are of Mexican heritage and they are artists, they are going to paint their culture. It doesn't leave us Hispanic, Latino, Chicano, Latinx, whatever they call themselves, it's still expressing their culture through their art, expressing what they feel about their culture. Because in Mexico, people wonder about us. In fact, they study us. They study Chicano music. They study Chicano literature. And they want to know more about us. And we want to know more about them. Then through this exhibit, we think we can develop that, so that this familial tie of U.S. and Mexico that has this border, that has this wall, that is all artificial to keep us apart. We're not enemies. Mexico and the United States, we are not enemies. We are familia. And we need to work harder at developing that in this political climate. Developing the fact that in this country we have no enemies on our border, either on the south or on the north. We're very lucky for that, because all the turmoil that's going around in the world is because there's an enemy on your border. And we have to get on our knees and pray and just thank God that we are not in that place. And we need to work harder, not at separating us, but uniting us. And if it weren't for the city and Ron Nuremberg, our mayor, understanding this, this would have never happened, because this took a little over $250,000 to put together. There's a lot of expenses connected with shipping, with putting up the exhibit, with producing the documentary, et cetera, insuring it. And he stepped up, and the city of San Antonio said, "You've got the first $100,000 here." And from there, we were able to get the rest of the money together to put it together. You know, then the airport pitched in, and Alamo colleges became a big, big part of this because the educational component is something that they understood and something that they wanted to develop. They were all there. I think there were probably maybe 30 or 40 people from Alamo colleges there developing the educational process.
Including 10 students. Alamo colleges, we approached them to be our fiscal agent for the project. So the Alamo colleges jumped in all the way and said, we were going to be more than that. We're going to develop relationships in Querétaro with universities. And they wound up signing a collaborative agreement with a consortium of universities that's going to pay off way down the road. They did an essay contest among their students to come down and be a part of the exhibit and tour, and they had a whole program for them. They had 37 applicants in the summer when no one's at school. I had 37 applicants. So they were able to take 10 students down to Querétaro with them, and that is going to pay off in the future, too. I had the honor of giving this group a private sneak peek of the exhibit before it opened, and they were so excited and so emotional. I was touched and surprised by the depth of the emotion that these students had, and I'm told that in the debriefing roundtable meeting with the chancellor, there were tears, and the people were changed. They were changed. The director of the museum, who, by the way, we would be amiss if we didn't say the curatorial staff at the museum did the bulk of the curation because they know their space. We went around and went shopping. And they made everything fit or said this will fit and this won't and all that. And while we were standing there talking to the students, the director of the Museo de Arte de Querétaro, Antonio Aureye, who has a very strong connection with young people programs at his museum, offered, and it was accepted, that he would offer internships at the museum for Alamo College's students. So there's going to be interchange of those students, there's going to be internships at the museum, and even more important than that, Alamo College's, in their approach to how they tell history, is shifting to the whole story. They're making it a priority to change the way this is taught to include the whole history of our relationship.
Wow. I mean, that's a huge project.
Well, we hope that it'll lead to the whole story of the Alamo being told in public schools, in colleges, and in textbooks so that it is included. It's nothing to be ashamed of for anybody. It's just that through neglect, it never got told. One story got told, and that took hold, and John Wayne jumped on it, and then Walt Disney jumped on it, and King of the Wild Frontier, and all of that kind of thing. And people my age grew up every Sunday learning about the heroes of the Alamo, and Davy Crockett, and James Bowie, and Stephen F. Austin, and all of that. And that was it. But the whole story is so important. You know, I can't thank our sponsors enough. You know, the city of San Antonio, Ron Nuremberg, the airport, and then friends of ours, Ron Heller, Melissa, and Charles Barrett, and Cecilia and Frank Herrera, and Valero, Bank of America, KLRN. You know, they're all part of this whole thing. But the idea of bringing in artists from San Antonio was Antonio Aureye. It was over a conversation at our home that we were thinking about. We want to have some kind of show. First, it started up maybe Kathy and Lionel. And he said, how about a bunch of artists, Latino artists from San Antonio? He says, wow, what a great idea. And he came to San Antonio 3 different times to meet with the mayor. It was just astonishing how it took hold and how people said, hey, this is something we ought to do. Let's get on it.
And so this project could have just been an art exhibit, but you also have a documentary. It's a four-part documentary associated with this project. Who wants to talk about how that developed and what people can expect when they watch it?
Well, we felt that the story was going to be very, very important. And we've done some documentaries before for KLRN. So we thought this would be a perfect opportunity to do a third one, and that would be to bring all of the experts who are our friends together and experts from Mexico and make a documentary about how they feel about it, what they know about the story. And as our historians here in San Antonio started to study it, they found little bits and pieces here and there of that story. And then how it happened that it led to the development of this great city, which, as we all know, is the seventh largest in the country. That we interviewed 50 people. They're all in the documentary. And each of them tell their part of the story. So we pieced it together. It's in four parts. Part number one is all about the tie between Querétaro and San Antonio. The second one is about the missions and their development. The third one is about identity. And then the last one is focused on the artists and why they paint what they paint.
And so I'm curious, you know, you brought up identity and, you know, we have these artists from San Antonio who've gone down to Querétaro for this exhibit. I know that there are many Latinos living in the U.S., again, first or third or fifth generation, but yet they have a conflict with their identity. They feel a connection to Mexico, or they know they have one, but it's not something that they've lived with or experienced. But now you have these artists, perhaps the ones who had not been, maybe not to Querétaro, did they share any of their experiences with either of you as to how they maybe came to see themselves when experiencing this country that they have this heritage with?
Well, in terms of the artists who came to Mexico for the exhibit and the other festivities, because there were other programmatic elements as well, my sense is that everyone was very excited. It was unbelievable that this kind of opportunity awaited them. And the excitement was palpable. And the idea of coming down and being with other artists, your colleagues in San Antonio, and being able to exchange ideas about this cultural experience and the experience related to heritage was super rich for them. Jacinto Guevara, who, if you know him, he's a plein air painter, so he'll come and park in front of your house and paint it. And then you're supposed to buy it, by the way, I think. Many people do. He took his easel and palette, went out, and did plein air paintings of the colonial buildings in Querétaro and in Tequisquiapan, where he and Jane were staying. The experiences were varied, and they were very rich. And everyone that went was very glad they went. Most of them expressed that to us. So, and most of the artists who went, by the way, participated in one panel or another, discussion about identity, discussion about the power of art, discussion about Chicano music.
And we were astounded to know how much they know about Chicano music there. They study it. They know it. They know who the big bands are, who the singers are, and their histories and so forth. Same with literature. Those two panels were started by the folks in Mexico. And I thought, what do they know about Chicano literature? Well, they know a lot.
Wow.
I felt like I was under a microscope, that they're studying us. What are we like? What is our identity? Where are we going from here? What impact are we having on our country through music and literature and on their country? Actually, both countries are our countries, we feel.
Lionel and Kathy Sosa are San Antonio-based artists and curators of Al Otro Lado del Espejo, The Other Side of the Mirror. It's an exhibit of works by San Antonio artists that celebrates the cultural ties between San Antonio and the Mexican city of Querétaro, ties that date to the Spanish colonial era when Franciscan friars traveled by foot from Querétaro to the San Antonio area to establish missions over three centuries ago. The exhibit is on display at the Museo de Arte de Querétaro through January 31st, and plans are underway for another exchange to have artists from Querétaro exhibited in San Antonio. The story of Querétaro and San Antonio will also be featured in a four-part documentary on public television. The series examines the history of the two cities, the Spanish colonial missions, Latino identity, and the artists in the exhibit. The Other Side of the Mirror, produced by Sprocket Productions, debuts Thursday, October 17th on KLRN in San Antonio and can be screened afterwards at klrn.org. See photos from the exhibit's opening in Querétaro and take a virtual tour at tpr.org. Thanks for joining us today on Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Maria Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.